waking you up like no one else. Here's Gruber.
Free for all Friday. Glad to have you along for the conversation. You know, from one, it's like going to school here some days, from one professor to the next. We learn economics, and then we have our center fielder, because I think Doolin can talk about just about anything. Professor Steve Doolin. What's up, Doolin?
Well, I'm up. You're up.
We're up. All right. You stay up and watch basketball? How your brackets looking? Are y'all messed up or what?
I didn't even bother this year. I've been so out of it.
Well, sorry to hear that. You know, I haven't even checked. I see Michigan won.
I avoided the disappointment, you know.
The embarrassment, the trouble, right. All right. So I was looking at a story here earlier today, a teacher in California who dared to talk to her class about the political ramifications of the walkout this week, suggesting that, you know, if kids wanted to walk out for other reasons that were conservative in nature, they probably wouldn't be allowed. She has been sent home. She has been suspended from school. I don't know if you've seen this story, but incredible. A teacher that wants to talk about, you know, politics, America, what's going on. Yeah, you can't talk about that. We don't condone that. You're gone.
I'm not surprised, or maybe I'm surprised but not shocked, or shocked but not surprised. The group thing that goes on, and I don't know if you remember this, but I've served on a school board in the past.
Yes.
And I spent a little time as a test prep instructor in various high schools for days or weeks at a time. And the group thing that goes on in that environment is, I don't know where else you find it except maybe on a 20-year long bowling team. Where everybody agrees with everybody else on everything.
Yeah, everything's the same. You have to here's the list you read from. Here are the things you agree with. You know, and it's interesting because I just watched Connor Lamb win a seat in Pennsylvania in the 18th district. Connor Lamb, a Democrat who is against Nancy Pelosi, pro-gun, pro-life, an attorney, a Marine, a prosecutor. This is not a normal Democrat. And I heard some conversation. That's why I'm asking. Of Tom Perez, the leader of the Democratic, of the DNC, he was asked, is there room in the Democratic Party for people who are Democrats who are pro-life and pro-gun? He hemmed and hawed and never answered the question. The answer is no. You know, they'll take the seat because they'll get votes in their favor generally, but there's not really room for these folks.
Well, and it's going to be really interesting watching what his position is. I believe he has to run again in just over a year.
No, in November. They run again this year, November.
Oh, it's this year. That's what it is. Yeah, it's within the same year because of the redistricting, right?
Correct.
So the demographics of his new district are going to be significantly different from the demographics of the district he just won in, and it's going to be extremely interesting to see how his positions evolve.
Well, the other thing, but the point being is, you know, there's so many litmus tests now, and I think this is true on both sides, but it's certainly true. There's not room if you're a pro-gun, pro-life Democrat. Is there room for that person in the party? Because I don't see it. And I don't believe this
not.
Guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm on the board of the Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners.
Okay.
And we used to, back when I joined the board 15 years ago, it was very easy for me to say that we are a single issue nonpartisan group. We're pro-gun, but we don't distinguish between parties as far as our membership. And now I get sidelong glances and smirks and scoffs when I say that. It's evolved over 15 years. It really has, as far as the gun issue. It's extremely difficult to find a pro-gun Democrat at this point. It used to be not that hard, just not that long ago.
I actually think there's plenty of them, and if there's not, they're migrating away from the Democrats. But I think that if you go and you talk to, you know, guys that are union members here in Lansing or Flint or wherever, that are Democratic voters by and large, but they're also gun owners. So I think they exist out there, but I think that they are becoming marginalized. And I think that's a danger for the Democratic Party. You know, if you specialize to a point where you exclude this group and this group and this group and this group on single issue, we don't agree with that point and that point. And at some point, you've whittled it down to, you've turned, you've made toothpicks out of logs, haven't you?
Well, you have, exactly. And when I said hard to find, I meant as members of the legislature. You're right. The voters are out there. But as far as members of the Michigan legislature, I don't think you can, I can't name one off the top of my head, a pro-gun Democrat right now.
Not anywhere in Michigan, not a pro-gun Democrat anywhere. You know, which is interesting because they are pushing, the Democrats have put forth a bill that would confiscate more than 200 different kinds of weapons and more. Some Democratic proposals in Illinois would be confiscation, same thing in California. Some proposals put forth no semi-automatic weapons of any sort in the hands of civilians at all. And yet they say, but we're pro-Second Amendment. How do those two things fit together?
Well, they really don't. You got to look. I call it the Sir Mix-a-Lot rule. You got to look for the big but. I support the Second Amendment, but
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and then the buts keep getting bigger and bigger the last few years.
Yeah,
it used to be just machine guns, you know, and now it's machine guns and assault rifles. And when you press them on a definition of assault rifle, it ends up being all semi-automatics, which is about half of all guns in circulation right now.
Or more if you include all semi-automatic shotguns, all semi-automatic handguns, all semi-automatic rifles. It's going to be well more than half, I believe.
Yeah, you may be right. We can't even agree, we gun people, on how many there are in circulation. I recently agreed to revise my estimate as more than 400 million, but that's about as specific as I can get without running the risk of being incorrect.
That's the highest number I've ever heard estimated. Where did you arrive at that figure?
Well, it took some doing for the folks who talked me into it, because I've been using the more than 300 million estimate. But if you just add in the more than 100 million that were sold during the Obama administration, that were actually new guns, you really have to sort of bow to the reality that, yes, there probably are more than 400 million in circulation in the U.S. right now.
Well, that's a pretty good bit of detective work there. 100 million guns
sold. Thanks, Obama.
Hey, no problem. he was the greatest gun salesman in the history of the earth, but I will tell
exactly.
You this. I will tell you this, if they start pushing toward more regulation, every time they push towards more regulations, guns sell. I talked to my friends at a couple local gun stores, one in particular here yesterday. They said they had a bump of a couple of days or three where they sold quite a few and after the Florida incident, and then it settled back down because not a lot has happened. What do you think about that? We talked about this before, and we might as well wrap it up this way. The law was signed in Florida, raising the age to 21, three-day waiting period, more robust background checks, more mental health stuff. Agree with any of those things? Disagree? Real quickly, why?
The waiting period actually was shown back in the days when Brady was a waiting period. Before the Brady bill became NICS, the National Instant Check, it was a waiting period. And the folks at NRA at that time really didn't have a hard time finding individuals who had been murdered during the waiting period by generally so-called loved ones, family members or spouses, who had been threatening them. And when the person who was being threatened went to buy a self-defense gun, told there was a waiting period. Now, granted, that waiting period was 7 days, but NRA actually had a list, I remember, published of individuals who had been murdered while waiting.
Not good.
Waiting period.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there until next week, Professor. We'll have more to talk about, I'm sure. Thanks, get him, Tiger. Professor Steve Doolin, good friend of the program. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.